Good morning, Evanston Avenue. I'm Tina.
I'm Keith, and you guys, you're still walking around out there. Hey, sit down.
Don't worry about him. He's just cranky. He hasn't had his coffee yet.
Oh, dear.
Well, oh, hey guys, I didn't see you out there, sorry.
See, all better.
This is some good coffee. I should have had it earlier. We're glad you could be with us this morning. The ushers are coming up to take our morning's tithes and offerings, and while they do that, we want to let you know how you can get connected at Evanston.
So check it out.
Christmas is a busy time, so we want to make sure you know what's going on.
There's a ton of information in our bulletin to keep you up to speed with our weekly events and the special events for Christmas.
You'll also find our connection card. If you fill that out, we'll make sure that you stay up to date with all the things going on at the church.
You can also use the card to let us know if you need prayer or would like someone from the church to contact you.
So if you would please fill that out and leave it on the pew when you leave, one of our amazing ushers will pick it up for you.
If you are more of a techie, you can find an extended calendar and connection form on our website.
We have a special section just for Christmas, so you know exactly what's going on and where it's happening.
The website is a great resource where you can find all the information you're looking for, and you can also listen to the Sunday school lessons and sermons with the slides and everything.
So head on over to EvanstonAvenueBaptist.com or follow us on social media to stay connected.
It's almost time for Pastor Matt, but before that, we have two important announcements.
First off, tonight at 5 p.m., we will have a carol sing.
So come to the church ready to sing your favorite carol.
It'll be a nice informal gathering around the piano. Just let them know what song you want to sing when you get there, and we'll all sing along and enjoy some great treats and coffee.
Then this upcoming Saturday, we have our family Christmas experience. This is not your typical Christmas program where you come and watch a show.
You are part of the show. You'll be a part of the cast of actors and make your props and act out your part of the program.
Then when the show is over, you are invited to the cast party for some desserts and more fun.
That's this Saturday, December 17th at 5 p.m.
Well, now that we've got you up to speed, it's time to take out your Bibles. And if you don't have a Bible, feel free to take one of ours from the pew.
So here's Pastor Matt with his sermon, Zechariah's Song. My coffee's gone.
Better get some before you get too cranky.
Good idea. I'm going to Starbucks.
Here's Pastor Matt.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. A couple of things that we need to let you know about. First of all, we are going to have to make a slight change on our program for Saturday. So it's going to be a little bit different. It's still at 5 o'clock for all the kids. Bring clothes that you can run around in. So it's going to be a little bit different. We ran into a couple of snags, but we're still going to have something for the kids. It just won't be what we unfortunately had originally planned. So 5 o'clock, young people, come to church on Saturday. 5 o'clock tonight is, in fact, the carol sing. The ushers are going to be coming forward, and I'm going to mention this a couple of times now. I'll also mention it next year. You notice that we did have the kids go out a different direction today. And here's my request to you guys, as parents and grandparents and people who bring kids. We're so glad that they're here. We love our kids. Amen. They're the church of today. They're the church of tomorrow. It's great that we get to build into them. But could you guys do us a huge favor? Because we have had a couple of kids that we've found hiding in random parts of the church while the service is going on. Because they're kids, and they do that. Could you guys do us a huge favor? If you bring a kid, please keep track of him or her, get them in here, and then once we send them out to Kids on Worship, we're always going to send them down that front door, just so we can keep good track of our kids, because, hey, we don't want anybody getting lost or hurt. Amen? Okay, very cool. Let me pray, and then we'll dig into God's Word together. So, Father God, we love you, we praise you, we bless your name. And, Father, we just ask now that as we open your Word, as we turn our hearts to glorify you with our minds, Lord, we just ask that you would move mightily in us and through us. And so, Father, we thank you for that, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You're going to want to turn your Bible open to the Gospel of Luke. If you're unfamiliar with the Bible, it's in the New Testament. It's kind of the back part of the Bible. And the story of Jesus here on earth is actually recorded in four parts of the Bible: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We call those the Gospels. Luke is the third one. It's not quite as good as Matthew, but I'm biased. So if you want to join us there, we're going to be in Luke chapter 1. And while you're flipping, I had forgotten this, so forgive me. One other announcement. If you are a member of the church, could you hang out with us after service for about 5 to 10 minutes? We need all the members of the church after service for about 5 to 10 minutes, okay? Membership thing we got to do. Sound good? It'll be quick. That's my hope. But all right. We're going to be diving into this. We've been spending a little bit of time talking about the songs of Christmas, not the carols that we're going to sing tonight or the songs we sing this morning, but in Scripture, we actually have a number of people in the Gospel of Luke who kind of at random points break into song, or they start prophesying or spouting poetry. But either way, there are these songs that are taking place in Scripture. So we wanted to spend some time this Christmas season and just kind of hear what these songs have to speak into our lives. So, but before we get into that, how many of you have ever seen any of the really cool optical illusion chalk drawings on the pavement? So, yeah, Jackson, why don't you go ahead and advance? I found a couple of cool pictures. And it's just fun to look at, you know, when you see, I don't know if you can see it real well, there's actually some parts of that that are real, and some parts of it that are not. And just so you know, the guy is real. But the hose, the water, all that, you know, the reel, all of that's a chalk drawing that he did. There's a way that they can do that. They can lay everything down. And it just kind of boggles the imagination, because as you're walking up to it, it's like, whoa. And some people will do like, you know, like they fall off the edge of the pavement kind of drawings. And he decided to make one where he's just dumping water onto the sidewalk. And it's really convincing, isn't it? Here's another guy who was a little bit... not entirely sure what he was doing with that one, but apparently he wanted to hang out with an alien family. You can kind of see through it a little bit better, but I always enjoy those types of optical illusions, because you know when you're looking at something, it can be right there in front of you, but you just have to really focus in. You have to zoom in and kind of understand, okay, how is it that this is really possible? Because we don't really have alien families that are touristing here in a good old planet Earth, and certainly that guy wasn't dumping water in the middle of the road. So it just kind of is something where we have to zoom in, we have to focus in on what's going on around us. And so what we're going to see this morning is there's a guy named Zechariah who had the same problem. He had all kinds of amazing things going on around him, and he was, I won't say like most men, but he was stereotypically unaware of most of it. Any of my fellow guys out there, like we're completely oblivious to what's going on right in front of us? Am I the only one? Anyone else like gone into a room and wondered why? You just came into that room, and so you kind of do like the little circle like a dog, just kind of like, hopefully this will jog something, and then when that doesn't work, you leave, and then come back in, hoping something gets triggered. Am I the only one? Okay, good, thank you. Okay, I was worried there was something deeply wrong with me. But Zechariah is this kind of guy, where there's just amazing things going on around him, and he's completely oblivious to it. So I wanted you to join me. We're actually going to be in Luke chapter 1, verse 8, and a little bit about this. Zechariah, we've met his wife Elizabeth last week. They're an old couple. They're beyond their ability, you know, chronologically to bear children. They don't have any kids, and Zechariah is a priest. So I just want to dive into the story here with us real quickly. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before the Lord, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. So let me give you just a little bit of historical background here. In those days, there were lots of priests, lots of people who were all part of this priestly tribe. And so as a result, not all of them were needed at one time. So they literally, it was kind of like the National Guard of priesting, I guess you could say, where they were divided into different divisions or units, and then they would go to serve 2 weeks at a time, a couple times a year. And then the rest of the time, they would just go home and live their life and, you know, do whatever. And so this was his turn. He was in Jerusalem, in the temple. It was his day to serve. And then what they do is there's certain temple functions that need to be done ceremonially every day or regularly. And the one that, and so they kind of would, you know, draw names out of a hat, and it fell to Zechariah to do this. And just to put this in perspective, this was the second most important thing that a Jewish priest would do. And it may only happen a couple of times in their lifetime when a priest, just the way that the lots fall, that this was kind of like your big moment. Because when they were offering incense, that was, they would go in, and right in front of him, there would be this big curtain. And on the other side of the curtain, there was the Holy of Holies. The Ark of the Covenant was there. If anyone touched the Ark, they would be struck dead. And so right in front of that curtain, because they believed God's presence was right in there, and so right on the other side of the curtain, there was like this little saucer, it was a gold saucer, and they would come and they would actually burn incense. And that was their way of you know, ceremonially saying, our prayers are like this incense. It's going up before God. It's making him happy. It's giving God joy. So in essence, what Zechariah was doing is it was his turn to offer prayers for the entire nation of Israel. This is a big deal. And so the lot fell to him, and he's going in there to do his thing. So just another day. That's kind of what's happening. All right. So we'll continue on. Verse 10, it says this, and when the time for the burning of the incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. You know, there'd be like a little special zone they'd go into, and no one else could go there. But verse 11 says this, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. I love that. Okay, verse 13. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. Wow, that's got to mess with you. You're just in there doing your normal daily job. The time that's your turn, all of a sudden, poof, an angel appears. And just so you know, when we see angels in scriptures, a lot of times we actually think of like the cute little Huggies babies that are in diapers with wings and a little harp. Yeah, that's not actually biblical. I mean, they're cute, don't get me wrong, but that's not actually what angels are in the Bible. The angels in the Bible are warriors. And every time one of them shows up, people freak out. You know, because Zechariah is alone. There he is. And he gives this message and he says, your prayer has been answered. And this doesn't actually, you know, go in with where we're going to go with the message today, but I just want you to think about this. Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth, they were too old to have kids. So which prayer is this angel talking about? Is it possible that a prayer that Zechariah prayed years ago is finally coming true? Or was Zechariah just this great man of faith who, even though it was impossible, kept praying? We don't know. We just know that some prayer, somewhere along the way, God heard and is now choosing to respond to. And Elizabeth is going to have a baby. You're going to name him John. Verse 14, he will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. So this little tiny baby filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah and turn the hearts of the father to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the way of the Lord. You see, John the Baptist's job in Scripture was to get people ready for Jesus. This is awesome. I mean, how cool is this as a parent? God himself, God's messenger anyway, shows up and says, your child is going to change the world. He's going to get everyone ready for the Messiah. He's going to get them ready for Jesus. That would be awesome. And I love Zechariah's response. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years. The angel said, I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God. And I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until this day happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true in their proper time. And so, yes, my friends, as I said last week, Zechariah was rendered mute. for 9 months. Now, jokingly, I said, well, that's kind of like a second miracle then for Elizabeth. You know, she gets to have a child and a mute husband for 9 months. I mean, yay. But as we were talking about that in our small group, somebody actually pointed out and they said, you know what? That would actually be pretty painful to have all this joy, to have all this awesome stuff going on in your life, and you can't really communicate to the person that you love the most to talk about it, to share in that moment in the same way. And I think there's some truth to that. So yes, Zechariah was rendered mute for a while. And I love picking apart this passage because one of the things that jumped out at me and one of the things that I did some digging into was, here is a man of God. This is a priest. This is a pastor. This is a guy whose job it is to bring people into the presence of God and to communicate God's word to them. That's the job of a priest. Yay. And he was in the very temple of God. And the last thing he was expecting to see was someone who's a messenger for God. I don't know about you, but that just kind of grabs onto me just a little bit. Next slide, please, Brother Jackson. We'll come back to the rest of the passage. But here's the thing that we just need to be aware of. God is always working. God is always at work. And I don't know what brought you in here today, other than hopefully a very warm vehicle. But when you came in here, what were you expecting to encounter? Were you coming in expecting to encounter the same ritual, the same, you know, things we do? You know, we sing songs, we shake hands, we hear a message, we take an offering, we go home. Did you come expecting to have the same old today? Or did you come in today expecting to meet the living God, the one who is alive, and the one who is at work right now? See, sometimes we can be like Zechariah. We can be so busy doing the same things for God all the time that we miss that God is already at work. God is always working. Sometimes he kind of looks like this. Do you see him? This is a memory of all those who go deer hunting. But right there, there's a guy standing there with a bow and arrow. I'm sure he's praying for the deer. But a lot of times when God's at work, we don't always see what he's doing. You know, God is blending in with the world around us a little bit. But God is there, and he is real. And as you encounter the things of God, are you aware of them? And it really started to bug me. I was like, man, would God hide himself from us? Would God kind of not make it known what he's doing so we have to play, you know, hide and seek with him? And I think he does. I think every now and again, God kind of hides himself from us so that we have to go out of our way to try to find him. And here's just a little bit of a proof that I found of this. You're welcome to join me there. We're going to be in Luke 24. If you just want to listen, that's fine. But after Jesus dies and rises again, there's this weird little exchange that goes on between Jesus and some of his lesser-known disciples. And it says this, Luke 24, 13, it says this. Now that same day, two of them, talking about disciples, were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were walking with each other, and they were talking about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. I love that. They're all disheartened because the Messiah, the guy they thought was going to deliver them from the Romans, and all their expectations have just been thrown out the window because the guy they put their trust in was killed by the Romans. And here he is now walking with them, walking alongside. But then it says this, but they were kept from recognizing him. And it goes on where there's this entire discussion between Jesus and these two disciples. And he kind of starts to make fun of them just a little bit to say, haven't you read the scriptures? And he actually takes them through a whole Old Testament Bible study that showed them exactly how the Messiah would have to be crucified, died, and rise again. And at the end of it, when their eyes are open, Jesus vanishes. And they said, man, weren't our hearts burning in our chest? You see, my friends, the same God that sent an angel to meet with Zechariah, the same God who walked with these two guys on the road to Emmaus, is the same living, active, powerful God who desperately wants to be in relationship with you. God is at work around us. And the question for us is, are we aware of what he's doing? Because God is always working. Sometimes it just blends in a little bit. But if God showed up to you today while we were in worship, would you be ready for it? Would you be ready to see Jesus face to face? Man, this party just got real. He's here in person. The same God that met with Zechariah through an angel is the same God that is at work in your life right now. That God is always working. Okay. So, Zechariah missed it. Wound up being mute for a while. But then all of a sudden, lo and behold, I want you to flip back with me to Luke chapter 1, and we're going to check out verse 67. Because the story kind of bounces back and forth throughout Luke, where it starts with John the Baptist's birth being foretold. Then there's an exchange with Mary where she finds out she's going to have a kid. Last week's passage was Mary going to visit Elizabeth. And then the time came for John the Baptist to be born. And he does, and there's this whole debate about what are we going to name him? They tried to name him Zechariah because that's what the tradition was. You take your father's name. And Zechariah said no, and wrote it down, said no, his name is John. His name is John. And at that moment, as Zechariah saw with his own eyes the promise of God come true, as Zechariah stepped out in obedience to what God had told him to say, you know, his name is John, then all of a sudden, he didn't just speak. He started singing. If you couldn't speak for 9 months and all of a sudden, boom, it came back, what would be the first thing that you said? I need steak. I don't know. But this was Zechariah. It starts in verse 67. It says this, his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of fear in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. And you, my child, you will be called a prophet of the Most High. I love that. From the moment he was born, the dad, Zechariah, called him out to say, you're going to be a prophet for God. God put you in that role. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the path of peace. And so I just love how all of a sudden Zechariah breaks into the song. But as we look at the elements of this song, there's a couple of things that we need to pull out of this for us. Because yes, God is always around us. God is always working. And much like Zechariah, much like John the Baptist, that same God who is alive and active is calling you to join him in the mission of God. Check this out. God makes and keeps promises. And if you look at it and you pick apart Zechariah's song, part of what we realize is he keeps referencing all of the prophecies, all of the promises that God made in the Old Testament that are going to be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. God makes and keeps promises. Here's just a couple of them, you know. So first and foremost. Oh. Have you ever done that? That's called the trust fall. And for a lot of us, when we're called to join God in ministry, this is kind of what God's asking us to do. To place our trust in him, to place our trust in the promises that he's given to us. Because if somebody calls you to do something extraordinary and they're not a trustworthy person, are you going to do what they ask you to do? Of course not. And so for us, it's important that we understand that our God is trustworthy and faithful. And when he promises that something is going to happen, it does take place. So here are some of the Old Testament prophecies. First of all, one of the very first prophecies about Jesus in the Bible was in Genesis 3, where God is talking to Satan, and he actually says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between her offspring and yours. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." So as soon as sin entered the world, God put into motion a plan to take care of that sin, to make sure that sin was put to death, and so that we could have the hope of eternal life. And that promise happened back in Genesis, before recorded time. And here's another one from Genesis. This is what Zechariah was talking about. He references the oath that God swore to our father Abraham. So in Genesis 12, God says to Abraham, he says, "I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." And commentators and scholars agree that the way that people are blessed through Abraham is by receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's the blessing for the whole world. Now, here's the cool thing about God. Those promises are kind of broad. You know, like, Abraham's going to be blessed, and he was. But God also gave some very specific promises about Jesus Christ. Check it out. "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child, and she will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." So just the very idea that a virgin, Mary, would be pregnant and would have a son was prophesied. But let's keep going. There's some other more startling things. Next one, please, Jackson. "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son." The gospel writers point to this verse, and they actually say that yes, because after Jesus was born, his parents had to take him to Egypt for a time. So just out of curiosity, when you were born, how much control did you have over where you got to live after that? Were you able to say, "Hey, Mom, Dad, you know, Cancun is great this time of year. Can we go there instead of Michigan in the winter? That'd be awesome." Yeah, we don't. But so the idea of Jesus having to go into Egypt was prophesied in advance. Next. "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come one who will be a ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." Yes, indeed, not only his first place of residence, but his place of birth was predicted. Again, how many of you got to pick where you were born? You know, none of us was tapping on the inside of Mom saying, "Hey, Mom, let's go here." But Jesus' exact location where he was born was prophesied. And it gets even more specific as we move on. If you want to check out Zechariah, I'm just going to use the Zechariah passage. You're welcome to join me there. But this doesn't have as much to do with Jesus' birth as it does his death. Zechariah 11, verses 12 through 13 says this, "I told them, 'If you think it best, give me my pay, but if not, keep it.' So they paid me 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said to me, 'Throw it to the potter,' the handsome price at which they priced me. So I took it and the 30 pieces of silver and threw them into the house of the Lord to the potter." Now, if you're unfamiliar with the biblical narrative, with the biblical story, you might miss that one. But just so you know, what was the price that Judas was paid for Jesus? 30 pieces of silver. And where did the deal go down? In the temple. And what happened after Judas had a change of heart? He threw the money back to the priest and said, "I cannot take the money. He is an innocent man." And he threw it to them. And they said, when they got the money, "We can't put this back in the treasury. It's blood money. We can't give it back to God." So they actually went and they bought a field so that when somebody who was a vagrant died in Jerusalem, they had a place to bury the vagrants. Interestingly enough, that field was owned by a potter before they bought it from him. And so yes, Jesus, you know, specific aspects of Jesus' death, 30 pieces of silver going to a potter, the deal took place in the temple, specific details of Jesus' life that are totally outside of his control were prophesied in advance. This is just a couple. Psalm 22, if you read that, that's actually that'll sound a lot like what Jesus said from the cross while he was hanging there, because that's what he said from the cross while he was hanging there. And if you start going through and you start doing the research on this, you start to realize that it wasn't just the five or six prophecies that I'm mentioning here. Jesus accurately, completely, and thoroughly fulfilled over 350 prophecies that relate to him directly. And bear in mind, if Jesus fails to fulfill even one of them, he's not the Messiah. But he fulfills all of them. In the Old Testament, where these prophecies are recorded, that was put into final form almost 300 years before Jesus was born. So it wasn't like he could go back in and change the book to make it point to him. 277 years before Jesus was born, the Old Testament was put in the form we have it now. And there's over 300 prophecies that point to Jesus that he fulfilled to the letter. Oh, and P.S., there's still some outstanding. Because God also says that Jesus is coming again. Okay, I realize it's Sunday morning and it's cold and I'm sick and y'all are tired. But Jesus is going to come back. Okay, just checking. Make sure we're all still together on that one. Some days the joy is a little bit muted by the flu medicine, but that's okay. So you see, my friends, Zechariah, when he stepped up to sing his song, he pointed back to all these promises that God had made and realized that, yes, God really made them, and yes, they were coming true in his lifetime. Our God makes and keeps promises when he doesn't have to. But he wants to prove himself trustworthy to us. So when he asks us to jump off into his arms, to follow him in mission, we know that we can trust him. Next slide, please. God makes and keeps his promises. But so here's the fun part about this. God keeps his promises to us as well. Because we can look back at the faithfulness of God and how he completely fulfilled the prophecies of the past. We can look at that and say, God has a really good track record. He's never once been wrong. He's never left any of those prophecies unanswered. And so when the Bible starts talking about prophecies that are for us now, we can trust, we can believe that God himself will fulfill those promises. Here's a couple of those promises for us. How many of you do this, by the way? I do this with my girls. You know it's really serious if we pinky promise, right? That's an unbreakable oath between a father and daughter. I'm going to pinky promise you, so it's going to happen. And that's kind of the same level plus about an infinity of what God says to us. Because you're my dearly loved child, I will keep my promises to you. So here they are. Oh, you can tell I'm sick. I keep forgetting which pictures I put in here. The rainbow is actually originally something that God gave to us as a reminder that he would never break his promises. Check it out. It's in the story of Noah. All right, promises that he's given to us. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. And as Jesus was getting his disciples ready for his departure, he wanted to speak words of comfort. And so he ultimately told them, he's like, if I go, I'm coming back for you. There's a reason we use this passage a lot at funerals. Because we know that as God is currently preparing the place for us, he's doing so because his desire is for you to be with him for all eternity. That's what he wants. You to be with him. And I love this one too from the same passage. John 14. I will not leave you as orphans. My friends, we could probably stop right there at this time of year and just talk about how many people do we know who feel left like an orphan. Who's alone this time of year? Who does God want us to reach out to be his hands and feet? But because Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. And the whole passage goes on to talk about how he's going to give us the Holy Spirit who is going to be present with us. And then check this out. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him or her, and we will come to him and make our home with him. This is how much God loves you. He wants to hang out at your place. God wants to spend all day, every day, for the rest of eternity with you. And we know that as God promises these things, when we look back at his record of faithfulness, we realize that we know that this will come true for those of us who believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He will come back, and we will be with him. Amen? By the way, that's just two of the promises we have yet in store for us. If you ever want a fun way to study your Bible for yourself, start in Matthew, read to the end of the book. And anytime you see a promise, something that God says he will do, something Jesus says that he will do for us, make a note of it. You'll learn that he has some really awesome and amazing things in store for you. Our God loves us, and our God keeps his promises. And when he calls us to missions, we can trust that he will be there for us. So my invitation to you is this. Place your trust in Jesus Christ. If you've never done that before, I know I'm sick. I'll try to breathe the other direction. But I'll be right here after the service for just a couple minutes. I'd love to talk with you, answer any questions that you might have. I'd love to tell you about how you can place your trust in Jesus. That's what I would love to do. Let us pray. So, Father, we love you. We praise you. Father, I thank you that you are the God who is alive, the God who has been at work through all of history. So, Father, we just ask now that as you make yourself known to us, Lord, we know sometimes, Father, we can't see what you're doing, but, Lord, we trust and we know that you are active among us, and, Lord, that you want to do great things in us and through us. So, Father, we just ask that as you have promised to do good in our lives, would you make that known to us? Father, draw us to yourselves, and I pray for anyone in the sound of my voice, if they don't know you as their Lord and Savior, just send your Holy Spirit ever so gently to invite them in to fellowship with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, my friends, before we head out, remember after the service, I'll give the benediction. You're welcome to head out. Cookies are still there. Praise God. The nice thing about a snowy Sunday, less people, more cookies. God's blessings abound. But if you want to grab a cookie, that'd be fine. But about 5 minutes after we're done, members, if you can make your way back in, we got a couple of membership issues we're going to need your help with. So why don't you join me in prayer, and then we'll stand and worship together. We already prayed, didn't we? Did I mention I'm sick? Sorry about that. How about we just worship, and I'll get down, and I'll stop kind of stumbling all over myself. Does that sound good? Would you guys stand with me so we can worship?
Amen. We're going to end with a new song. And I know that new songs are hard, so if you don't get the verse, that's okay. But I want you to get this chorus, and I want you to sing it all week. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Okay, and you can't sing it like this. You see the face? It doesn't mean anything. You have to put a smile on your face, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen? Hallelujah. Though my tears may fall, my song will rise to you. Though my heart may fail, my song will rise to you. While there's breath in my lungs, I will praise you, Lord. In the dead of night, I'll lift my eyes to you. When the waters rise, I'll lift my eyes to you. While there's hope in this heart, I will praise you, Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness I'll dance, in the shadows I'll sing. The joy of the Lord is my strength. When I cannot see you with my eyes, I feel your hand in mine, let my faith arise to you. God of mercy and love, I will praise you, Lord. Oh, you shine with glory, Lord of light, I feel alive in you. In your presence now I come alive, I am alive in you. There is strength when I say, I will praise you, Lord. The joy of the Lord is the joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness I'll dance, in the shadows I'll sing. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Joy, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness I'll dance, in the shadows I'll sing. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Comes my way. You're a shield about me. Always you remain. Hallelujah. When sorrow comes my way, you're the shield around me. Always you remain.
like courage in the fight. I hear you call my name. Jesus, I am coming, walking on the ways, reaching for your light. Sing it out. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness I'll dance, in the shadows I'll sing. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness I'll dance, in the shadows I'll sing. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Amen. Do you believe that this morning? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Let's sing that one more time. Let's really declare it for this week. Amen. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness I'll dance, in the shadows I'll sing. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
One more time.
The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness I'll dance, in the shadows I'll sing. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Thank you, Jesus.
All right, my friends, let me leave you with this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be merciful unto you, and in all things give you peace. Go in God's peace. We'll see you back here in just a few minutes. If there's anything we can pray with you about, I'll be up front, and I'll use hand sanitizer. So we'll see you in a little bit, guys.